Praise God. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove the equity from the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Praise the Lord. I want to list these out again in the second verse, if you don't mind going back there. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, I love you. I thank you. I praise you for who you are and for what you do. Father, I ask you, Lord, just to bless these people, bless myself, to understand and to comprehend and to have the revelation of what you're speaking to us today. Father, I bind every spirit of distraction, destruction, or anything that would hinder, and I command it to loose its hold and go. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are today who you've always been, and you're going to keep being that, Lord, good and perfect and holy. Father, I ask you, Jesus, just to take care of it all. In your name we pray. Amen. We started a study in Revelation this last Wednesday night. We just did the little introduction to it. We're going to be cranking up with the an expository style of teaching. We're going to go all the way through the book. And somebody asked, why in the world are you wasting time on that? Most of that book doesn't matter because we're not going to be here. And this is the reality of it all. You will never understand who Jesus is as the lion unless you read about how he comes back with power and authority, and he lays waste to the devil and his thwarting. Do you hear me? You're never going to get a hold of who Jesus is as the victor unless you know about his victory. Do you hear me? I love what happened at Calvary. I love the cross. I love the blood. I love the power of his death, burial, and resurrection. But all of that has only been made known to us partially. Do you hear me? Because we have a spiritual relationship with God. But one day, though we see through a glass darkly, one day we're going to see him face to face. And we're not going to just read about how he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. We're not going to just read about how he has the power to do all these things. But one day, the sky's going to roll back, and he's going to come out of the clouds, and he's going to finish what he started 6,000 years ago. And we as his church are going to be right there with him. And I want you to listen, and I want you to digest this. This goes hand in hand with that teaching in Revelation. This is a prophecy that I just read to you about the Messiah, about Jesus, about the soon and coming King. And I read here, and I listed out some things, and I doubt you even caught it. But the Bible says in Revelation, in three or four places, about the seven spirits of God. Anybody ever read that? Anybody ever question, well, what does that mean, the seven spirits of God? And if you dissect this, and if you study this, and you look at this, what you will find is its reference is here in Isaiah. Its reference is about Jesus Christ being overcome with, overshadowed with, rested upon, filled with, whatever you want to call it, with the Spirit of God that has a sevenfold manifestation. It has a seven type, a seven function, a complete, perfect way about it. And I feel like I lost half of you right there. The Spirit of the living God, the Holy Ghost. How about that? Can I just say the Holy Ghost? Just talk real plain and clear. He has seven characteristics that he operated in through the body of Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? Somebody say, Jesus was man and God. Jesus was not just flesh and bone, but he wasn't just the Spirit of God either. He was God in the flesh. Do you hear me this morning? Jesus was not just a normal man that was born of a woman that God anointed to do something, but Jesus was literally the embodiment, if you will, of the Son of God. The fullness of the Godhead dwelled in him bodily. He had the mind of God, the Spirit of God, and the desire to do God's will in his flesh. Huh? He laid down a body after he rose up, went into heaven, and on the day of Pentecost, he picked up a new body, and it was called the church. You and I are a part of the body of Christ. And guess what? The same Spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead, that quickened that dead body in that tomb some 2,000 years ago, dwells on the inside of you, and he dwells on the inside of me. And if the same Spirit that Jesus had could raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out the devils, open blinded eyes, make deaf ears open up, bring strength to the cripple, part the Red Sea, close the mouths of lion, knock down giants, do whatever it did, that same Holy Ghost dwells in us. And because of that, we have the power and the authority to do what God did then, today, in our time. Isaiah prophesied of this coming Messiah upon whom the Spirit of the Lord would rest. At Jesus' baptism, the Holy Ghost ascended upon him in Matthew 3. And after Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, he poured out that same Spirit on the church that we're a part of today. In fact, after 40 days of being in the wilderness, after fasting and after praying, after being tempted by the devil, the first message that Jesus preaches is from the book of Isaiah when he quotes, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and hath anointed me." Do you hear me, somebody? You ought to declare that over yourself this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and hath anointed me. But here's the cool part about it. He's not just upon you, but he's in you as well. Out of your innermost being is going to flow rivers of living water. That tells me he's inside, he's outside, he's ahead of, and he's behind. Let me get into my message this morning. But if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus up from the dead dwells in you, this is Romans 8 and 11, if you'll pull that up for me. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Last Sunday morning, I talked about the Holy Ghost is working. Y'all remember that message? How he's working things. He don't take a day off. He doesn't quit. He doesn't take a vacation. This goes right along with it. God's going to move with seven ways, seven specific ways in your life if you'll allow him to. You want me to teach you about it? You want to hear about it? You want to learn about it? The same seven ways that the Spirit of the Lord moved through Jesus' body, God's going to move through you in this last day hour. Do you hear me? That's a promise, church. That's a promise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Luke 4 and 18, if you will. Praise the Lord Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is the first title that we have here. If we look in that 11th chapter of Isaiah 2, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord." That's the title. I want you to hear me out. Jesus in Isaiah 11, 2 said, "The Spirit of the Lord rest upon him." We've already got that. Jesus ministered because the Spirit rested upon him. For 30 years, Jesus didn't minister. Was Jesus any less God those first 30 years? Come on, church. This is doctrine. We need to get confident in this. Jesus was as much God the moment he was conceived as the moment he gave up the ghost. So for 30 years, Jesus being raised as a boy, as a young man, as a teenager, going into 30 years, he has not ministered, he hadn't cast out devils, he hadn't healed the sick, he hadn't walked on the water, he hadn't done none of that stuff. But after he's come out and he declares the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me, that's where we find the beginning of 3.5 years of intense, hardcore ministry. I want you to hear me out. Even Jesus knew that without the Holy Ghost being upon him, there was no need in him trying to force a ministry. We as individuals need to understand that the Spirit of the Lord is where it starts and it's where it ends. It's not going to be done by might. It's not going to be done by power. It's not going to be done by fancy preaching, fancy singing, fancy pews, fancy signs, or any kind of worldly attraction. The Holy Ghost is who draws, who saves, who heals. He's the one that does the work. work in the same Holy Ghost that worked through Jesus can work through you and I. Come on. Luke 4:18, Jesus declared it. I'll say it again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and hath anointed me. And you say, well, Brother Shelby, what does that have to do with me? Pull up 1 Corinthians 6:19. This is a little bit of a Bible study this morning if you hadn't got it. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not of your own? I want you to listen to this. I want you to put this into your mind and into your body. We don't live the Christian life in our own strength. We can't do it with our own power. God's own presence dwells in us. You ought to jump up and shout about that. Yeah, I know I talk about it all the time, but maybe I've got a revelation that some of y'all don't have. I ain't good for Jack Diddley if the Holy Ghost doesn't have control of my life. You cannot accomplish anything unless the Holy Spirit has control of your life. What made Jesus God was the Spirit of the living God that was in him. That's what makes you godly, the Spirit of the living God in you. Praise God. Christ was anointed for his mission, and you, my friend, are anointed for yours. Did you hear me? Mama, you have the anointing of God to raise your babies if you've got the Holy Ghost. Daddy, you've got the anointing of God to be a father to your family if you've got the Holy Ghost. Worker, you've got the anointing to do the work at your job or at your business or at the school or at Brookshire's or Walmart or the Dollar General. You have the anointing to do what God's called you to do and to be victorious in it if you have the Holy Spirit. You have access. That's the essence. That's the part of the sevenfold part of the Spirit of God. He's going to anoint you and take care of you. The Spirit of the Lord. Number two, it declares the Spirit of wisdom. Jesus amazed people with his wisdom. He was wise beyond measure. In fact, when they talked about the wisdom of Solomon, he said, no, the half hadn't even been told. The wisest man in the entirety of the world said, y'all ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till that one that's coming shows up. I want you to understand this. You as children of God, have access to the Spirit of wisdom for your everyday life. This is a promise, church. We run around this world all discombobulated and our minds are jacked up and we're worried about this and we're concerned about that. We're snared and trapped and fall over the words of our mouth. We don't speak wisdom all the time. We speak foolish things. We think foolishly. We are just overwhelmed. Jesus never was that way. In fact, when they tried to tempt him, when they tried to tangle him up, when they tried to trip him up with scripture, he always had a way of escape with his words. He always knew what was coming on. He was wise. He knew what he was going to do before the time even came. And you can say, well, he was God. Yes, he was God, but he was man too. He was as much man as we are. And if he did it for God, if the Spirit of the Lord could work in wisdom through Jesus, he can work through you. 1 Corinthians 2:16 promises us that we can have the mind of Christ. Come on now. It says not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many of you believe that Jesus had a good mind? Do you believe that? Do you know that Jesus had a wisdom in his mind and his thinking was sharp and his cognitive reasoning was good? I've got a great thing to tell you. If you have the same mind of Christ, you don't have to stumble making mistakes, having unwise problems and reaping consequences for you dropping the ball. But if you have the Holy Ghost in your life, he will lead you and guide you and direct you and show you and reveal to you things that are beyond your own ability. Have you ever said something that's like, where did that come from? That was so smart, that was so good, that was so perfect. Huh? I do it every time I preach. I get on Amy's nerves. She said, as soon as I get in the car sometimes, I turn on the preaching. She said, why don't you just wait till I ain't in the car? I've already heard this. I ain't heard it. There's things I say and I don't even know where it come from. It's the Holy Ghost. What do you mean? Wisdom beyond your years, young people. Wisdom beyond what your education level is, old people. It doesn't matter where you are or what you're going through or how small you may appear. God can give you the wisdom of Solomon times infinity and he'll reveal things to you that you don't even deserve. I've made decisions in business and in things on my own and failed. And then I've prayed about things and God said no, but I said it looks so good and did it anyway and failed. But then there's other times that stuff seems crazy and stuff seems out of sorts and stuff seems out of normal. And I think, God, you're telling me to do this? And he says, yeah. And I say, okay, I'm just going to trust you. And I take off in it. And it's weird and it's different and it's slow to go sometimes. But the wisdom that God has for your life, he'll begin to show you things. And he'll begin to teach you things. And what I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. But a lot of us are like babies when it comes to wisdom. We're immature. Especially when it comes to following God. But then the Lord will begin to reveal things to you. And what looked like a crazy thing, what looked like a failing, what looked like setting you up to fall is actually the wisdom of God directing you and showing you. And then halfway through a situation, what I was going to do fell apart, but God put me right in the right place for the right time in the right season and the right fruit came out of it. God can direct your path with wisdom like you wouldn't believe. The Spirit helps believers make godly decisions in everyday life. Do you hear me? That's part of the Spirit of God. He wants to lead you into wise decisions. Can I just preach for just a second? I got just a second here. And I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. The Holy Ghost ain't never going to tell you to put yourself in a financial bind. He's never going to tell you to go buy the boat when you can't afford it. He's never going to tell you to buy the house that you can't afford the insurance on. He's not going to tell you to buy that Louis Vuitton, that Coach bag, those Salvatores, or any of that other stuff, or that Benelli, Beretta, or whatever, Remington. The Holy Ghost ain't going to lead you to failure in making bad decisions. Huh? The Holy Ghost, if you'll shut your mouth and listen for a minute, will lead you into all truth and make wise decisions. Praise God. He honors obedience. But that's a guarantee. Not only is he just the Spirit of the Lord, but he's the Spirit of wisdom. Let's keep going. Christ displayed divine wisdom, and the same Spirit teaches us today. And you say, well, are you talking about the gift of the Spirit? I'm not talking about the gifts of the Spirit that are divided severally as he will. I'm talking about the baseline, church. Just like all men have been given the measure of faith, all men are given the Spirit of wisdom if they'll allow it to work through you. Do you hear me? Not only wisdom, but how many of you know you need to understand things? He's the third point. He's the Spirit of understanding. Jesus understood people's hearts perfectly. He saw the intention. He saw the circumstances. He saw where they were, and he was moved with compassion. He understands you. Do you hear me? Have you ever talked to somebody and they just didn't get it? Huh? I'm trying to explain this to you and you don't understand. Get on the phone and call the tax office. They don't understand. Get on the phone with AT&T, Verizon, any of them other companies. Get on the Philippine line over there. They don't understand. That's what my poor wife does. She said, I want somebody that speaks English. That guy said, I am speaking English. She said, I need somebody that speaks English like me. She said, I can't understand you. Huh? Just because it's your language don't mean you're understanding it. Read my lips. God understands where you are. He sees you in the valley and he gets it. He sees you under the pressure and he understands it. He sees the pain and the rejection and the problems you're dealing with. He's not disconnected. He's not over here worrying about somebody else. He's in the pit with you when you're in the pit. He's in the valley with you when you're in the valley. But he'll be right there dancing on the mountain where you are too. He knows how to lose and he knows how to win. He is an understanding God. You don't have to have eloquent King James Version, thou, O faithful Father, prayers. You can say, God, I need some help. And he understands exactly what you mean. You can have and he gets it. You can have a runaway. You can throw the wrench. He understands. I can promise you. I can promise you. Oh, and that same Holy Ghost how he could look on somebody, that woman at the well. He said, yeah, I see you've had all these men. I see you have this relationship with this guy that ain't your husband. I see your sins. I see your failures. I see your shortcomings, and I understand. But he said, oh my God, hallelujah. He said, I'm going to love you anyway, and I'm going to take care of you anyway. He said, you just come unto me, all of you that are heavy laden and downtrodden and beat up and bruised and all these problems in your life. I understand where you come from, yes, but I've made a way so you can get to the next place, not beaten down any longer, but free. And who the Son hath made free is free indeed. That same spirit of understanding, we have access to it. Huh? Some of you have felt it at times when you could feel somebody's pain. You could look at somebody and sense something, and you understood exactly where they were. Some of us that have a spirit of intercession. Anybody ever wake up just feeling something? Or maybe in the middle of the day you just have to stop what you're doing because somebody came to your mind and the burden to pray for them was inescapable. Midnight hour, wake up with somebody's face in your dreams, or somebody's face in a vision, and you've never seen them before, and you've never walked where they've walked. You've never even talked with them. You don't even know their name. But God puts an understanding for what they're going through in your spirit. Some of us, we look at people with judgment. We look at people with this misunderstood thing. Why are you that way? You've been afforded all these opportunities and you flushed them down the toilet. Well, get real, somebody. There go I, but for the grace of God. And when we get that revelation, and the Holy Spirit can start to make you understand other people's problems, you'll move with compassion for them. You'll lead them to the cross. You'll pray them through. You'll help them. You'll take your coat off and give it to them. You'll bless them even though they don't deserve it. You understand where they are in a supernatural sense. Somebody ought to get this. Let me get here in Ephesians chapter 1, 17 and 18. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual understanding to us. Praise the Lord. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Go on to the next one there. 118. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints. I said something Wednesday night, and this was one of those things that I say it, and the Lord just reveals something. The reason, or one of the reasons, that you're not going to have sin in heaven is because you're not going to be able to hide anything. You're going to see somebody, and you're going to see the intentions of their heart. You're going to see the thoughts in their mind. We're all going to be working together perfectly, and there's nowhere to hide. How many of you know that if you had nowhere to hide, you wouldn't do as many sins as you did? Come on, somebody. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I want to have understanding eyes. Did you hear me this morning? I want to look at you, and the Spirit of the Lord give me the ability to understand what you're going through. I want to look at you and be able to understand your calling. I want to look at you and be able to understand that you may be different than I am, but we're both pulling the same wagon. I don't care if it's a black and white spotted horse, or if it's a Palomino, or if it's a dun. I don't care how short or how tall. If we're all pulling in the same direction, then my God in heaven, then we ought to be able to be willing to work together. Praise Jesus. The Spirit helps us understand Scripture. Come on now. We need to get this in our mind, that the Spirit of the Lord wants you to comprehend what He's speaking. He don't want you to just hear Him. He wants you to understand it. Okay. A lot of us in here, we've said it, I've said it. Man, I just don't understand what the Bible's saying right here. Anybody ever prayed that prayer? God, help me understand what you're trying to reveal to me in this. Well, you can't. It's physically impossible. You've got to look through the eyes of the supernatural. Why? Because this is a supernatural book. And the Holy Ghost wants you to know it and wants you to have the revelation. If you will let Him, He will reveal to you and let you understand what He's saying. I got to move quickly. Not only is He a God that helps you understand, but He's a counselor. Come on. The Spirit of counsel is listed here as the fourth on the list. Jesus always followed the direction of the Spirit. Even when He went up into the wilderness and into places, He was led by the Spirit. Come on now. I want you to grasp this and apply it to your life. I want you to understand this very carefully. The Spirit still leads God's people. Jesus even said in John 5:30, pull that up if you will, John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. That's not Peter. That's not James or John. That's not Mark. That's not Paul. That's your Savior talking. I want to bring a little human factor to Jesus right now. If you were to read that, you ought to write it down, put it on your refrigerator, get your lipstick out and draw it on the mirror above your bathroom vanity. I can of my own self do nothing. But as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not, I don't look for my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If ever there was a statement true of us as humanity, it's that verse of Scripture right there. We need the counsel of the Holy Ghost in everything that we do. We need the leadership. We need the guidance of the Holy Ghost in everything that we do. And I know this ain't one of them run the aisles, jump the pews, shout, and swing off the chandelier in the front, but I want you to get this in your mind right now. You have access to the director of the universe, and it won't cost you a penny or a dime. It was paid for by the blood of Jesus 2,000 years ago, and shame on us for not letting the Holy Ghost lead us. Shame on us. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons, and you ladies, daughters of God. How many of you are children of the Most High? You can't be a child of God if you're not following after the Spirit. John 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide, He will lead you into all truth. And Jesus said here, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whosoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you the things to come. Praise God. Things are coming. Make the right choice. The Holy Spirit provides direction whenever we seek God's will. Christ never walked alone. Neither do we. His body wasn't out there just wandering. The Spirit was His compass. You've got the same Spirit on the inside of you. I know some of y'all are just looking at me like I'm wasting your time. I hope to God somebody's getting this. Not only do we have the Spirit of counsel, but we have the Spirit of power and might. Jesus did not minister in a weak form. He was not passive. He was not a wuss. He was not a weenie. He was not feather-footed. He didn't tiptoe around facts. He was bold. He spoke what was true. He rebuked what was false. And He did not care who didn't like it. He did it anyway. He did it in love, but He did it in power. Do you hear me? There's nothing wrong with speaking truth in power and authority. There's nothing wrong with casting out devils. There's nothing wrong with healing the sick. There's nothing wrong with doing what God has called you to do. And He's given you the power and the Spirit of might. Acts 10:38, if you'll pull that one up. And how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. That's you, church. How many of you believe God's with you? Praise the Lord. This is for you. The same power works in us today. Acts 1:8, He promised you receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Come on. He didn't call you to be weak. He called you to be powerful for Him. Ephesians 3:20, He said, according to the power that worketh in us. Look at that last line. According to the power that worketh in us. God's power enables us to witness, to endure trials, to overcome temptation, to minister, and to serve faithfully. The Spirit gives strength for what God has called us to do. Do you know that it's impossible for you to fail if you're being obedient? It's impossible for you to fail if you're being obedient. Praise God. Let's keep going. He gives you the Spirit of knowledge. This is number six. There's a difference in knowledge and wisdom. I want you to hear this. Jesus perfectly knew the will of the Father. John 10 and 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. Jesus wasn't a dummy. Did y'all hear me? Wake up. If you're dumb, it ain't because of God. God did not make you that way. Okay. I remember they were getting rid of him when I was coming up, but I remember the last couple years they were there. God don't make no junk. Y'all remember that? I want you to tell yourself that. God didn't make me dumb. He might have made you ignorant. But if you stay ignorant, that's your fault. Because the Spirit wants to teach you things. I got to move quickly. 1 Corinthians 2 and 12. The Spirit reveals Christ in us. Here's the point. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Read it there. Colossians 1 and 10. Increasing in the knowledge of God. The Spirit moves us beyond facts about God into a growing relationship with Him. Christianity is not knowing about God, but it's knowing Him on an intimate level. The Spirit of knowledge wants you and God to be tight enough that when you don't know what to do, God reveals it. I feel like some of y'all are right there on the cusp of it, getting it. Yes, praise the Lord. We're almost home. Number seven, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. This is probably what we need the biggest revival of in Christianity. And honest to God, as He's my witness, not just reverence. Fear of damnation and judgment. And I know a lot of us were raised to fear and be afraid of God, and we didn't get the revelation of He's a loving God. But a lot of us in here today have been raised that He's a loving God, and we weren't taught that He's going to knock somebody's head off one day. Period. It's going to happen, son. If you don't clean your room, bam. Huh? If you don't do your stuff right, pop. I raised my children to respect and to honor and to fear the consequence. They don't fear me. They fear the consequence of their actions. Did you hear me? We should not be afraid of God. We should be afraid of the consequences of our actions. But the Spirit of the Lord is going to keep it on the forefront that we are to revere and we are to respect and we are to honor God. We as a nation have forgotten what it's like to not have access to the book and to the presence of the Lord. Men and women came to this place seeking asylum and religious freedom. They died, they braved, they sold everything they had, they fought, they bled, they made sacrifices so that they could have a place to worship freely. And we don't care about it. I'm not getting political. I'm talking about a church right here. There are things, there are sacrifices that have been made by men and women so that we would have access to what we have in this church specifically right now. But I don't believe it was just because somebody wanted it to happen. I believe that God willed it to be for such a time as this and in the future. And I've got news for you. We need to remember and not take for granted what God has done. We need to revere Him. We need to fear Him. Jesus delighted in pleasing His Father. Come on. John 8 and 29. I do always those things that please Him. Read that in the last. For I do always those things that please Him. The Holy Spirit produces reverence and holy living. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1, you can put it there. Perfecting in holiness is the fear of God. I'm going to keep going quickly. Proverbs 9 and 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is not terror, but loving reverence that produces obedience. The closer we walk with God, the greater our reverence for Him will be. Come on. Everything Isaiah prophesied, listen to this very carefully, I'm going to end it here. Everything that Isaiah prophesied rested upon Jesus. The promise was fulfilled when Jesus Christ walked and talked and lived on this earth. Everything that he did was done. It was fulfilled. It was completed. And through his finished work on Calvary, he did it. He died. He paid the price so that the Holy Ghost could be poured out. And we as believers now share in the ministry of that same Spirit. Do you hear me? The same Spirit that ministered to Jesus ministers to us. The same Spirit that ministered through Jesus ministers in us. The same Spirit that gave Jesus the words to say will give you the words to say. The same Spirit that gave power to heal in him gives power to heal in us. The same Spirit that made it where he could walk on the water gives us the power to walk on the storms of this life. The same Spirit that gave him the tenacity to go to the cross and bear what he bore has been given to you. Cannot fail, because the same winning God that gave power and victory to Jesus dwells in you. You and I, and with Christ, all things are possible. Greater is he that is within you and I than he that's within the world. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. This is the last one I'm going to read, I can promise you. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. You got it there, Brandon? Praise God. I'll just read it. Now the Lord is that Spirit. You got it, brother? No, we don't. We all. There we go. We all. Go to 17, pal. 17 and 18. Oh, my. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now go to 18 here. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. You ain't got it yet. Somebody ought to declare, I'm getting changed. Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Before we get out of here today, we need to open up and we need to say, God, am I walking in the ways that you want me to walk in? Am I walking in the, is the Spirit of the Lord directing my life? Am I seeking the wisdom? Am I following your counsel? Am I depending on your power? Am I growing in the knowledge? Do I fear you the way that I should? Or do I need to be changed? I'm here to tell you, we all need to be changed. On the daily, when we wake up in the morning, God, make me more like you. Make me smarter. Make me more wise. Make me powerful. Make me able to do what you've called me to do. Make me reverent. Give me fear enough to not back down and not throw in the towel. Let me do what you've called me to do. When the church yields to the same Spirit that Jesus did you hear me? When the church yields to the same Spirit that Jesus did, it'll become a living testimony and an overcoming church that God called it to be. Praise the Lord. Oh, you ready to yield? You ready to change? You ready to let the Lord move through you in a mighty way? Invite him to do it. Invite him to do it. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, God, for all your goodness and all your mercy. We ask you to be with us as we leave this place. Let us be changed, God. Every day that we live, let us walk, let us talk, let us be who you've called us to be. Let us not be afraid. Let us not quit, but let us run this race that we might obtain. Father, I ask you, Lord, to bless us as we go. Keep us safe. Bring us back safely tonight, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody in the house said, amen and amen. I love you and Jesus loves you. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock.